Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. But this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you all week? We started off the week shaking the Monday morning blues with the Deep Time crew, and we talked about reasons women break up with men. Well, how about the fact that they say he's a caveman? Archaic. Oh my goodness gracious. Our lady Tamika talked about the fact that he was wearing a poncho. Now, you know, if I had to go back in my memory bank, a poncho would definitely be somewhere in the 70s. Now, we haven't been in the 70s in quite some time, so I don't know now. You want to call yourself pulling a lady, you are going to have to do a little better than a poncho. Alrighty. What about the fact that he hangs with his friends too often? Man, who at our age is still hanging with Craig and them before you are spending time with your lady? I don't know. Well, what about the fact that he's a liar? Oh, you can't get him to tell the truth. And I always say, I can't stand when he volunteers a lot. Now, I didn't ask you anything about the birds in the trees, and you got an excuse for that, or you're going to tell me something that you think is going to make me smile or make me think that you're, you know, somebody who's smart by telling me some stuff that I don't even want to know about, that I didn't even speak to you about, that I don't even care about. So come on. You know, we're going to date or whatever you call yourself doing. Come on now with the program. All right. Well, our switch tip with Shanti came in this week. Don't insist on being the wrong example. Now, that sounds like you're talking about a double negative or something like that. But if you're smart, you catch on. You know, we're supposed to be example setters for the Lord. You know, we're supposed to be the trendsetters. And we're supposed to, you know, let people know that we are in the Lord and the things that we are doing, you know, is right. And then when we realize that what we're doing is not correct. Because believe it or not, some things you think is right, and then God opens up the door, you know, brought you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Yeah, it goes down like that. That's what the Bible tells us. And I can attest for the fact that, yeah, you know, some things look right, and then after a while you realize that something was wrong. Well, once you do that, you know, once you realize that, rather, then you're supposed to turn that thing around, because people are watching you at all times. Right? Right. So if people are watching us at all times and we insist on doing wrong, then we insist on being, what do you say? Come on, say it with me. Come on, say it with me. You insist on being the wrong example. Now, I don't know if you realize this, but God is surely not happy with that. Because if he doesn't bring you out of darkness, reveal his truth to you, and then you still walking around in the darkness. You're still walking around doing it wrong. You're still walking around compromising. You're still walking around trying to figure out why you can't do it all. Well, we're not supposed to do it all. There's only one way. And God's way is not the all way. See, the all way, doing it any old kind of way because of your comfortability, or, you know, the things that you like, or the things that man is expecting you to do, and all of this kind of stuff, you know, that's not God's way. That's man's way. Because God is not a person or being who does, you know, as Cedric would say, all willy-nilly. He doesn't act like that. No. He is very, very calculated. And he has taught us to be very, very calculated and strategic. And his design is very clear. He wants all men to be drawn unto him. So, come on. That's our job. So when you insist on being the wrong example, I don't want to tell you what the Lord is saying about that. I think you want to look at the Word of God and find out that way. Yeah, because, you know, I definitely say stuff that seems like it's so harsh. But it's the Word. I don't want to seek it because God doesn't want it. And, you know, when you're living the way of the world, life is going to be harder, much harder for you than if you opt to be obedient and do the things that the Lord says. So come on. Don't insist on being the wrong example. That was a good switch tip this week. What you think? Yeah, you're probably one who wants to straddle the fence, so you may not think that one is a good one. But it was. It was. Well, let's talk about it. Hey, church folks, we rolled around, and we were talking about a whole bunch of things. But one of the things we talked about was your favorite pastor, Bishop Crook. Lamar Whitehead. Yeah. Back in the news again. You know, swindling people out of their money, forcing people to invest. And, you know, just not a good example at all. Not a good example at all. And, you know, we got to talk, and you know how we do. Because that's all we do. We talk. We got to talking. And, you know, we got to talking about that thing. One another look bad. You know, people look at the way the pastors do it. All they want is your money. You know, all they want is to swindle you. And, you know, we are not like that if we're really on the Lord's side. You see what I'm talking about? When I say you went to the store, you know, put that stamp on Shantice's switch tip. Don't insist on being a wrong example, because this is a prime case. You know, now we got to fight our way out. you know, of looking like this, because so many people are, you know, representing God this way. All right? So come on, people. You know, when God shows you who it is, you know, there's wolves and sheep clothing, you have to get that thing together and follow the right leader. All righty now. Well, wow, Wednesday rolls around, and our girl Brittany got us started with the socially conscious segment, and we were talking about that tridemic medicine shortage. Yeah, there's a shortage on Tylenol and Robitussin and maybe even some others by now. And the following morning, after Vivian gave us this news information, they actually had, it was like $200-something they were selling Tylenol for. Now, you know you need to stop. This is what happens with people. Why just not say you don't have any more? You think God is going to be happy with you doing that to his people? Stop. Cut it out. Cut it out. Cut it out. Well, our wow story took over the morning with the lady and the Ohio teacher who was fired because she would not, you know, identify this gender issue with her students, and took a stand for the Lord and said, you know, no, I'm calling them what they were naturally born as. Well, she lost her job. And we all got to talking about the fact that, you know, it's a pickle sometimes, and it doesn't mean that it's a pickle to want to stand on the Lord's side. But, you know, this enemy is making it harder and harder. You know, we've talked several times on this broadcast about the jobs that, you know, we should not take, you know, and teachers were definitely, that was not on the list, because, you know, what can go wrong with being a teacher? Well, you know, we know that this Ohio teacher is going to be on the topic of the day, you know, because you stand up for God, God don't stand up for you. Don't need to worry about it, little lady. God's got your back. But, you know, we talked about how, you know, you got to navigate through the system, you know, and we always got to stand on the side of the Lord. So when you, you know, get into things like this, you know, go before the Lord so he can tell you how to navigate. You know, we know that he's always going to want you to, you know, stand up for him and what it's like. Ultimately, this world has no sense of right, wrong. There's going to be a lot of times where you're going to stand up for the Lord and you will be what it looks like to be in. But just keep your head. God. Okay. All right. Now, yes, was Therapeutic Thursday, and we got into some good conversation yesterday. You know, we talked about the Walmart manager who they already knew was violent, but yet they left him on the payroll because they said that management liked him. And, hey, he ended up killing 6 people. Yeah. On a tirade. You know, he had a kill list in his phone. And one person lived to tell the story. And I'm going to send you back to listen to yesterday's episode because it was interesting and it was good. Yes. Yeah, so all week, it was just jumping over here on a due time with Pastor Steph. So we want to make sure, you know, we keep that party going today. We celebrate day. on with you. And listen to the men is what we do. Yeah, we hear from the men on Friday. So go get that healthy breakfast. Go tell somebody that it's you. I would pass the step. It's on. And whatever you do, don't go nowhere, because we'll be right back.
I don't want to go blind from diabetes.
I don't want to lose a foot or a leg.
I don't want to have kidney failure, so I'm taking control.
I'm controlling my diabetes.
It's making a huge difference.
I'm eating healthy and staying physically active.
I'm taking my medicine.
If I can do it, anyone can.
Control your diabetes for life. Call 1-800-438-5383.
Well, good morning, and good morning again. Welcome back to Weekly Time with Pastor Steph. And today is Belief Thou Friday. Yeah, end of the week, y'all. And God has been so gracious to us. He's brought us safely through another week. Yeah, we're already here at Friday. And I remember last Friday. It just seemed like it was yesterday. Wow. Thanking you for joining me all week. You know, it's always a party over here, and I always enjoy talking to you, even if you don't talk back. I like talking to you. Good people. Well, what are we talking about today? Let's see, what's in the news? Well, you've got the story of 2-year-old triplets who was missing, quote unquote, for a little bit. So, this is a really, again, really sad story. We got a set of 2-year-old triplets who was quote unquote missing after their mom was murdered. Yeah. So Maisha was found dead, 39 years old, from multiple gunshot wounds to the head. And they suspected that it was her partner, 37-year-old Stanley Baptiste, who murdered her and then took their 2-year-old toddler from the house after killing her. But thank God the following day, one girl and two boys, you know, after being nowhere in sight, they were frantically looking for these kids because, you know, these people are killing the kids too. You know, we have done so many stories about these men and these women who are just killing the kids. You know, there's no loyalty even to the children. So, you know, they were frantically looking for the kids when they couldn't find him or them. And, you know, they thought that he had them and may have somehow done something to them. But again, thank God they were found safe the next day with a family member. and, you know, assuming that he took them to the family member, you know, it was another domestic violence issue of, you know, him being abusive, and she was trying to leave. She was planning on leaving him. But as the family said, she didn't leave fast enough. And the neighbor, she had told the neighbor, you know, a couple of things, and the neighbors knew, you know, about the abuse that she was suffering. And again, you know, giving God thanks that, you know, despite the fact, unfortunately, that he killed, you know, the mother, that the children were not murdered as well. You know, it just, years ago, I don't know, it's just, things are just getting worse and worse and worse. You know, just again, you never really heard of this stuff with, you know, the man killing the woman and the kid. And now, that's like, you know, the thing to do. The thing to do. So, they are still investigating. They haven't found him yet. So, let's pray that he's found and brought to justice. Oh, my goodness gracious. I don't know what happens. Seems like on Thursday nights when I'm looking for Friday's news, it's always about the men. Yeah. A lot of male stories. So what else are we talking about when it comes to these men? Let's see. Wow. Okay. Here we go. Now, I don't understand. You know, the more you just don't get immune to this stuff, people. You just don't get immune to this stuff. It says a man shot his ex-girlfriend 15 times because she hadn't answered his phone calls or text messages. So you have this Carlos, 23 years old, told the officers that he woke up in an angry state because his ex-girlfriend hadn't answered his calls or his text messages. He drove to her house where she was living with her father early in the morning because he knew she had to leave by 8 to be to work on time. So he told them that he pulled up into the driveway and confronted the woman. And Shadea just turned off and walked away from him. After, you know, some exchange of words, she was turned around to go back in the house. And that's when he pulled out the gun and shot her in the back 15 times. But see, you came loaded and prepared to do what you were doing. So they said when the officers got there, she was laying face down on the carport floor and could not be resuscitated. I guess not after being shot 15 times. So the father told the detectives that he was sitting in the living room when his daughter walked out the door to go to work. And then he heard this series of gunshots. And when he looked out the window, he saw this guy that he knew because his daughter had been dating him at one point. He was standing outside in the driveway. And when he went outside, he found her laying there dead. And he told the officers that, you know, his daughter had been dating for about 5 months or so. And they had been living together, but had broken up a couple of weeks earlier. And the guy continued, this caller continued to call and harass her. And she just made up in her mind that she wasn't going to answer his calls anymore. So that's how he handled her not answering his calls or texts anymore. So they say after the shooting, he dumps the clothes he was wearing and a box of ammunition in the dumpster at his apartment complex. Now, you Yeah, you got some dumb criminals again. He threw the pistol magazine out the window of the car as he drove down an interstate and discarded a semi-automatic pistol into the storm drain. And 2 hours later, he then turned himself into the police. Thank God he didn't kill himself. So yeah, he needs to suffer. He needs to suffer. He needs to suffer. Thank God he didn't kill himself. And he turned himself into the police after receiving a call from his mother pleading with him to surrender. So thank God mom still has some level of influence. And they asked him, here's why I'm talking about this story, because they asked him if he was remorseful, and he said no, he was not, and if he could do it, he would do it again, and if he had his way, he would have killed her father too. So thank God, at least he was on the inside. And it wasn't like where they were arguing that, you know, ran outside. So, yeah. Yeah, that man was empty. And he said he would have killed the father, too. So, thank God for the fact that the father inside. Oh, so, you know, he's facing first-degree premeditated murder and one count of deprivation of a firearm is being held, are you ready for this, on $5,000 bond. What is that? What is that? How do you hold you on $5,000? So if they do the 10%, that ain't nothing. That ain't nothing. Oh, goodness. Where are my men? Where are my men? You know, and when I say where are my men, where are the real men of this world? A real man that dates a woman, and when it's time to part, it's time to part. You take it like an adult, maturely. And you walk off, you get over the hurt, maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but eventually you get over the hurt and you move. And maybe find the woman of your dreams. Yeah, maybe, maybe. But at least you stand a chance. When you didn't get all of this stalking and murder, and sometimes murder the kids, sometimes you murder yourself. You know, is that mature? Where are the men in this world? Where are the men in this world? You know, so it just lets you know that, you know, the enemy is definitely, you know, and God said, you know, the enemy is snatching up his people. In droves. In droves. And his people first. Before you become a ward of the state. What they call it, the ward of the state, when the kids can't, you know, they don't have a home. That's what they're acting like now. They're acting like they don't have a home. Like if this relationship is over, then the whole world is coming to an end. How do we get there? How do we get so hopeless that everybody's got to die? She got to die. Kids got to die. You got to die. Father got to die. Mother got to die. Because we've seen all of this before. All of these people are murdered in the wake of your, you know, craziness. You know, we've adopted pay for them here on the channel with Pastor Steph. And every day we are left with who we need to pray for. We do. We are really left with people that we need to pray for, because this world is absolutely mess. An absolute mess. What else are we talking? Well, talking about the men. So you have a white investment banker, yeah, the one on the other side of the fence. You know, he's on the train at Stillwell. You know, for all of us who ride the train, always the infamous Coney Island. And somehow or another, he was drinking. He had a drink. And thing out of her room. You know, the room where all the people, you know, they kind of chill. Yeah, get their stuff together, take their break. Well, coming out of that room, you know, he was going into the room. He was drunk, stumbling into the room. And she told him, you know, yo, this is not, you know, this is not for you. This is for employees only. And he punched her in the face. And this is how he handled that. Now, you know, they're going to go with, oh, you know, he's a good guy. And, you know, he's he was drinking. And, you know, no, they're not playing that. They are not playing that, especially the Transit Workers Union. They are not having that. They are going after him big time. So here's the thing. You're a big investment broker. Well, you should have a dollar to pay a nice, hefty fine. Now, she's there doing her job, not bothering you because you can't hold your liquor. You punch her in the face. Now, we don't know. It doesn't say what kind of, injuries she suffered. But they're really on the warpath because they say just a week earlier, another attack on another female transit worker. And they're like, we're going after these people big time. And they should. They should. You know, these transit workers have so much that they're up against. You know, let's not even talk about the violence in the train station. But just the conditions. You know, I've heard them talk about the rats that are big like cats. You know, the fumes that are down there. You know, we always talk about the conditions of an area. Can you imagine what the conditions are down there in the subway, on the subway tracks or in those tunnels? You know, you've got the homeless people down there that you got to contend with at times, and, you know, people who are jumping in front of the train and those who are pushed in front of the train. And you gotta have your eyes out for that. You gotta have your eyes out for, you know, the safety of the community. You know, people walk, you know, riding the trains, and I mean, it's just endless. And then you have to add in their safety, their personal safety, and the attack. You know, making sure that when you go down on those tracks, they have really shut off the power, because you don't need no oops. Yeah. This is a lot to contend with without now having to talk to your body. Now, you coming out your break room, somebody's trying to come in, and you're kind of in the way because you know that, you know, this is not public. This is for employees. And someone holds off and punches you in the face. And This is a lot to live with, you know, and it's just, you know, we talked yesterday about the Walmart program, and, you know, she's with a co-worker, a manager, who now is on the warpath, and he pulls out a gun in the break room, walks into the break room, and just open fires, killing six people. So it's like, you really don't even, it's death. You don't even stand a chance out here, man. Whether you're in front of the employees, whether you're with the co-workers, it's like, what and where is safe? What is safe now? Where is your safety? Where does your safety lie? You have people who are killed in their own homes, stray bullets and all kinds of things. And it's like, if you don't find justice on the back of the line, I don't know, you know, what else is bothering. If I did not, this here, because the word of God is always preached somewhere, through somebody, all day, all night. And there's no way I would hear of a safe haven possibility. And I, because there's no place to go. Look at what we've been talking about, even who you're safe around. All of these men and women, because we've seen this stuff happen with the men as well, mainly with the ladies. But, you know, who's safe? Who are you safe with? So you're not safe when you go to work. You got the people who were killed who went to the grocery store. All they did was go to the supermarket. And the guy gets out his truck and he starts shooting people. So you can't go to the supermarket. You can't go to work. You can't go to the supermarket. You can't go to the school. Can't be in school because the killings are taking place there. And you can't even have a relationship because the person you met is not ultimately who that is. So now, before you know it, they just flip the script on you and they become hazardous to your health and your life. Then what? You have nothing. You have nothing and no one but the Lord and God's true people where you can really be safe. You really don't stand a chance. I don't know, y'all. You know, I guess, you know, when we do these news reports and we talk about these news stories, you know, God is really showing us, again, I always say this, who we could be, whether we are subsequently the victim or whether we're the perpetrator. Because I'm sure the person who came out and, you know, killed the girlfriend, killed the wife, you know, people don't start off like that all the time. No. They want to be in love. They want to, you know, date you, they want to court you, they want to marry you. And then later, some flip, you know, switch gets flipped. And before you know it, somebody's dead. And people don't always start off like that. I mean, come on, ladies, I'm talking to you right now. If you first met this guy and he wanted to date you and take your ass out and treat you nice, and you just fell in love with him, and then he starts cheating on you. Starts lying. Starts on all of this manipulative business. And now you find yourself, now it's not Stephanie, I'm just saying, let me make sure I let you know, because that ain't never been me. But I do know of you women, who you look at them after that
And they're like crazy. They're, it's like, yo, are you still human? Because the vendetta that she is now on, she's on this mission to make him suffer and pay. You know, even Brother Al talked about, you know, whatever happened, you know, before he knew he was on it, you know, he was determined to get you back. And you know, we talked about, quite a few times we talked about his indiscretion, you know, with paying back, you know, this woman. And, you know, I'm not asking for any details or whatever, but I'm just talking about, you know, this is how it, you know, it never starts like this. Most times you go into this relationship and you're thinking, you know, oh, I found the woman of my dreams. I found the man of my dreams. And we're going to be together and we're going to be in love. And when you turn around, when I've looked at people, I'm like, well, when you first got started, that wasn't anywhere in your brain. How do you get it? Because I know I'm mad. I know I'm mad. But I don't know. Thank God. I was just never that type person who would be on a mission to get you and make you pay. Because, see, this is what happened when the 15 gunshots went into her back. Here's what happened this morning where the guy shoots the kid's mama, who he's in a relationship with, in her head. He shoots her in her head multiple times, despite the fact that his kids won't have a mother after this. See, this is why it don't start off this way. You know, when you found out that she was pregnant, you were all floating on cloud nine. And you know, now listen, triplet, man, you bragging, you got your one girl and your two boys, and what happened in your brain that says you gay, and I don't care. I don't care about going to jail. I don't care that my kids don't have a mother. I don't care. I'm going to now kill myself too. It's like, yo, this is some serious stuff. This is some serious stuff. And we've talked about this with the men. You know, I've clearly asked them, why can't you just walk off? They just can't say bye. I don't know. You know, they gave their reasons. And they have not, you know, come to the point where they've murdered someone. But, And of course, we can't speak for every single male or female on this earth. But, I tell you, this world is a mess. Well, I want to cover this one more story before I start talking to guys. So out in California, you have this interior designer who has a really, I don't know if you want to call it sad, but at the end of the day, it's definitely sad. But check this story out. So you have Jada, who's 39 years old, and she had been out free on bail because she got into it with her stepfather. Now, the deal is they don't tell a long story, but she was going to jail fighting a manslaughter and an involuntary manslaughter case because she had killed her stepdad because she found some pictures on his computer of her naked. Now, I don't know. It doesn't say how she got into the computer or what she was in the computer for. They had not been in any relationship. So it wasn't like, you know, she voluntarily took pictures and now somehow she ends up, you know, finding out that he took pictures and he was, you know, sending them around or anything like that. No. She found these naked pictures and she just went ballistic. Didn't I just say you go from like level 1 to level 150? Yeah. So she clearly approached him about the picture. And I guess whatever it was, the conversation, it didn't go to her satisfaction. Now, he's 64 years old. And, well, he was. And she ended up trying to find exactly what she did. Okay. So she drugged him. She suffocated him with a plastic bag and then choked him to death. And she said, she told the jurors, I just dosed the hell out of him. And I'm in her brain, you know, this was a major, major violation to her. And initially, she told the story, well, the defense tried to spin the story, that he died from poor health and chronic drug abuse. But when they did the autopsy, they found out that he was, he had an overdose of prescription sleep medication. So I guess after that is when she ended up telling him she just dozed the hell out of him. And they tried to get her, the defense was trying to get her on lesser charges, such as manslaughter. Oh, that's what happened. They rejected the lesser charge of manslaughter and involuntary manslaughter because that wasn't no manslaughter. It says that she drugged him, suffocated him with a plastic bag, and then choked him to death. That's straight murder. You can't get no manslaughter case out of that. Well, homegirl was sentenced. Well, she's not sentenced, but she's facing now. She goes for sentencing in April. She is facing 25 to life. Now, for those of you who need to be reminded, why this is so devastating to her is because they have already said 25 to life, which means she's going to have to do at least 25. They're not saying like in other cases, she's facing a possible life sentence, which means that they could give her 2 days to life. They haven't put anything on the table. Homegirl is facing 25 to life. So when she goes to jail, God spare her life, in April, when she goes to face this sentencing, rather, she's going to hear at least 25. Now, she's twisted because, see, in her brain, how could they give me 25 to life when
he took new pictures of me. I didn't know he took these pictures. And when I found out he took these pictures, that was my response. Now, if y'all got into an argument and then he pulls the gun out, I mean, you pull the gun out in anger, pop up how, then that's one thing. They may not have given you that 25 to life. But when you drugged him, you put the stuff in his food, his drink, or whatever, then you put the plastic bag over his head and suffocated him. And then you finish the job with something else. You choked him. Now, why you gotta choke him if you're suffocating him? Oh, goodness gracious. Oh, where my men at? Where my men at? You know, it's something that always leads me back to my due time crew. Good morning, Brother Al.
Good morning, good morning. I had to get up off of mute real quick. How you doing?
I'm all right, thanks. How are you this morning?
I'm doing pretty good. Doing pretty good. You know, the good Lord tap you on the shoulder and say, get up! So I'm all good.
All right. Now, thank God. Thank God. So, Brother Al, we have landed at the story of this woman who found out that her stepfather had nude pictures of her on his computer. And at the end of the day, her response to get him back, they never said what he did with the pictures. It was never said that he passed the pictures around or whatever. It just looked like, you know, he had been violating her and then kept the pictures on the computer. And thus, she ends up putting drugs in his food. She then puts the plastic bag over his head to suffocate him. And then she ends up choking him. And, you know, I started talking about how, you know, we go from zero to a million in a half a second. Was this overkill, Brother Al?
Oh, my God, very much so overkill, you know. She, the pills wasn't good enough. She had to add a bag over his head to suffocate him. And then she choked him, too. So you looked in three different ways to kill this man. You gave him pills. You put the bag over his head to stop from breathing. You figure the bag might not be enough, so now let me use my bare hands to choke him. So that's just straight, you know, man, just anger. That, you know, that sounds like blind rage, what we were talking about. You know, you just lost it, and your mindset was, let me kill this man. You ain't say, you know what, let me tell somebody, let me call the cop. Your straight mind was, let me kill him. That's crazy.
If you found a woman, your stepmother had new pictures of you. I clearly can't ask this question to Pastor KL because I don't know what in the world he's going to say. But I think it's safe to ask you. You know, if you found these pictures of you, you know, naked on your stepmother's computer, what could you see yourself doing?
I could see me telling my stepdad. My dad. Hey, Pop, come here. Pop, you ain't going to believe this. Look what stepmom did. She didn't went and took pictures of me. You know what I'm saying? And then I got to look at the pictures to see, like, where was I when she took these pictures? Did she become a peeping Tom and peeped in on me while I was taking a shower or getting dressed? You know, all that's coming into play. And then if my dad don't do nothing, I'm like, okay, you want to play? You go get in the shower. I'm going to wait patiently until you get in the shower, and I'm going to take some pictures. You want to play rough? Okay, we're going to play rough.
How would you seek justice for this violation?
You know, I know that's an invasion of privacy. I don't think there's no jail time, but I would really leave it up to my my father to do something. If he didn't do something, it's kind of hard to say, you know, I mean, I guess now when I go to the bathroom or whatever I do, I'm going to make sure doors are locked. I'm going to peek around, make sure she ain't nowhere around. And, you know, but I'm really looking for my dad to do something as far as killing her. Nah, I ain't doing that. And now what? She still got the pictures and I'm in jail talking to Bubba. I don't want to talk to Bubba. Bubba going to take pictures of me naked. I don't want Bubba taking pictures of me. So, you know, so I wouldn't think that, but I really, really would be pushing for my father to do something about it.
And what would be satisfaction to you if he said, all right, Al, this is what I did? What would be satisfying to you?
Wow, that's a tough one. Because I'm going to be mad if he just come to me and say, I had a conversation with her. You know, that conversation, what do you mean? Man. Ooh, that's a good one there. What would I want him to do? Man, I'm not sure on that one. That's one I got to really think on. But I would really want my dad to do something. And I'll make it worse. Like, hey, Pop, you see how she looking at me? Why would she take pictures of me, Pop? She like me more than she like you in a different way, Pop. What you going to do? Man,
you know
up, Pop. What you going to do?
I'm going to
do something.
Wow. Well, I guess after that, he would. He would have to do something if you come at him like that. Somebody, yo, you know, she been looking at me. She only with you for me. Yeah,
she only with you for me, Pop. I mean, come on, Pop. You know, I ain't going to try to take your woman like that, but you need to talk to her. You know what I'm saying? You need to fix this. You know, she checking me out, taking pictures. She must like what she sees. Ah.
You know what? Oh,
if you don't fix
goodness,
it, Pop, I will. Look, if you don't fix it, Pop, I will. You know what I'm saying? Me and her gonna go on a little date, Pop. What you gonna do? You're burning them. Make the name work. You're burning them. Make the name work.
Wow. Oh, my goodness gracious. You're crazy, Brother Al. You're crazy, Brother Al. Thank you so much for joining us today. Let's talk to our Pastor KL. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning. Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you?
I am well, thank you. Boy, you sound like a tired individual this morning.
Well, it's 12 degrees in Alabama.
Wow. What'd you say? It's 12 degrees in what?
I sound like I'm dying. I ain't taking no nude pictures right now.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so again, I ask, how are y'all equipped out in Alabama for 12 degrees? Because it's not even 12 degrees here in New York.
We know the word and the worth of prayer.
You know what? I can't. Well, I mean, because y'all don't keep coats and stuff down there, boots and things like that, right?
Well, no. These fools out here buy coats and boots for fashion, not for weather. But they wearing it for weather today, baby.
I bet they are. It's 12 degrees.
I don't own a sweater. I don't own a hat. I don't own none of those things.
Wow. Well, you might want to invest in those things to make sure when 12 degrees comes flowing through, you are prepared, my brother.
Yeah, because I got my T-shirt and my panties on.
Oh, my goodness gracious. I know that T-shirt ain't doing nothing these days. Not in no 12 degrees.
Nothing.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. We're talking about this woman who is 39 years old, I believe. Is she 39? Let me double check. I think she's 39. Let's see. Yep, she's 39 years old. And she found some pictures in her stepdad, who was 64, in his computer. And at the end of the day, it ended up with her putting some drugs in his food or drink or whatever, and putting a bag over his head to suffocate him, and then choking him. And I'll ask you what I did ask Brother Al. overkill.
It ain't overkill. He got killed.
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
I mean, first of all, at 39, why you still at your brother house? You should have been gone. You shouldn't even have no. There shouldn't even been a place where he could have took some pictures of you. You're a grown woman. You shouldn't have been in that house. But, I mean, was he right for what he didn't know? He wasn't right at all. Not at all. For no reason. But, I mean, you should have been gone. I guess that was his way of saying, okay, it's time for you to move. So, yeah.
Wow. Well, look who got moved at the end of the day. Wow.
Right. I know you didn't ask me, but I'm gonna answer anyway. You know, had I found out
you
that my stepmother,
you can't do that. You can't do that.
All right,
okay,
I'll move on.
I know you didn't ask, but I'm gonna answer anyway. Let me tell you what makes my eyebrows go up, Pastor KL. The fact that I did not ask you, but you are insisting on answering. No, thank you. Well, Pastor.
That's what we're doing now. I thought you were equal opportunity.
You make me nervous. You're going to be
I thought you was equal opportunity, and you know, the people want to
know. No. You blew that.
Inquiring minds want to know. Inquiring minds want
right.
to know.
No, you know what, Brother Al? You sit over there and be quiet, or either it'll be the Stephanie show today. Because I'm going to call both of my...
I don't like those threats. I don't like those threats.
Remember now, it's Freestyle Friday, and I get to do whatever it is I want to do. All right, Pastor KL, with the clause that you keep it clean, go ahead and answer the question that wasn't asked of you.
Well, I mean, you know, from the beginning, 2 years ago, you know, I've always talked about how sexy I was. So I wouldn't have been surprised. You know, and then I would have said, listen, okay, since you got it, we gotta get some picture frames or something. Why just keep it on the computer? You know what I mean? Let's display it. If you want me,
what?
You know what I'm saying, looking like the Mona Lisa, then come on, let's put it on display. That's all.
You know what?
That's
and
all
we're
I'm
not
saying.
Talking about a compromising position, you know.
Right,
you know,
right.
Straight nude. We're talking about nude pictures.
How many? Okay, but no. Let's say this, and let's be honest. How many? I remember my mom and dad. They had nude pictures of black people all over the living room. I didn't know none of them. We didn't know them, but it was okay to put it up there. So what's the problem? I ain't got no afro, but you know they got the nude pictures with the afro.
The man with the chain saying he ain't heavy.
He my brother.
Nah,
I don't want
no nude
brother.
I'm just saying.
So you're saying
that the pictures should be put up in other people's houses because back in the 70s, that's what they did.
We might could make a few dollars.
You know what? This is why. Women break up with men. Did we talk about this? Well,
she had no business taking the picture.
Exactly. She had no business taking the picture. So if you're going to take it, you know, come on now. I should have some say in what we do with it. It's me.
You know,
I'm the artist.
You're not the artist.
I'm the model.
Yes. This is why you couldn't even figure out what to do. You all mixed up as to which role you were even playing. How you gonna
be the model and the artist?
Oh my goodness gracious! Oh my goodness. Well, thank you for keeping it clean, Pastor KL.
Thank you, Jesus.
Now, Brother Al, I don't have a theme today. Let's talk about something that maybe has been on your mind that we have not talked about on the broadcast. What's going on, you know, in your world
But you're like, you know what? I've been waiting to talk about this thing. What you been waiting to talk about, Brother Al?
And we can't talk about the Senior Citizens Olympics.
There you go with the announcer. let's talk about finding Pastor Kale. Let's talk about finding Pastor Kale. How about that?
it's so funny
that you said that, because I was thinking of something that came to me this morning that we really never got a chance to talk about. And I wanted to talk about on the woman's side. How do women not see when there's a man that you're married to or you're dating have two families and you never find out? You know, and that came to my mind because I have a friend that I grew up with who had two families. He had a wife up here in New York and three kids, and he had a wife down in North Carolina with two kids. And I still can't figure how they did not know. Because somebody missed a holiday somewhere in there. He can't be in two places at the same time. And I've seen this happen so many times. And I want to discuss that. Like, how do you not know?
Well, ladies, let's put it out there. Ladies, come on. How do you think you know, this man, maybe you've experienced it. You know, how do you figure this could go on? Because I've heard of that happening before, someone close, excuse me. This is when the wars was going, like the Iraqi war and all that Kuwait and all of that kind of stuff. And he was married. I went to the wedding of this particular wife. And he said that he was, you know, later on when they were deploying people, he said he was being deployed because he was, you know, a military man who had not been out, you know, at war. But remember, they were calling all these people out to war. And he said he was being deployed, only to find out years later, he came back from the war. They resumed their relationship and their lifestyle. They had no children. And I don't know how it ended up coming out, but she ended up finding some letters, and that's what had happened, Brother Al, her too. She, you know, he had this whole family that he started after they got married. And her friend kept asking, how in the hell? Because, listen, that's like you said, you know, I guess the friend was like, where your head is. How do you not? Because he had to show some type of something, you know, some separation from you. Because a man just ain't that savvy where he gonna love up on you at the same level when it's only you, and then when it becomes two and three of you, he gonna be able to do the same thing. So come on, ladies, I gotta hear something. It can't just be me, because I'm gonna give my answer, but I'm just interested in what, you know, what you think. Has it happened? Listen, let's talk about the cheating, the plain cheating. You know, when you find out that he's cheated, first thing you say is, well, when do you have a chance to do all of this? Well, that's what Brother Al was asking today. He didn't have a whole, not only in another family, but a whole family in a whole next state. Now, if you drove from New York to North Carolina, what's that a good 11 hours, Brother Al?
Yeah, it depends on where, but between 11 and 13 hours.
All right. So if you got two families, you ain't doing a whole lot of flying, because that's money. That's straight money. That money going in somebody's pocket and somebody's mouth or somebody's feet. Baby need a new pair of shoes. How? How, ladies, did you miss this? How'd you miss this? I don't know, Pastor K.O., what's your thought?
Again, in my former life, now, I wasn't married, but, you know, in my former life, I've lived with two separate people, you know, and one of my pretend jobs, I had to travel a lot, you know. The other pretend job, you know, I worked at nights. So with one person, I never had to be there at nighttime because I worked at nights. So the other person, I would stay at her house, and then when it got too challenging, I had to travel, so I could take a break from one person who knew that my job required me to travel. Meanwhile, I was working down the block, or, you know, in the same state, same city. So I mean, it can happen, and it's really, I'm gonna be honest with you, it's not as hard as you think it is once you get a regimen or a routine. It ain't that hard.
All right, so I got this question then. Since you claim it's not that hard, and I'll start with you, Brother Al, do you really believe that you could love both women equally? She should never be able to tell that you had another whole life somewhere, because you just that good.
I'm sorry, I don't believe that at all. You know, and you know what kills me with it is I've known people who've been through it, and the woman would sit back when they finally catch them, because it's going to catch up with you, because you ain't hiding no kid. It's going to catch up with you. And when they caught up with her, the first thing that came out of my mouth was, I knew something was wrong. I figured something was going on. Okay, so why you didn't? You know, and I'm sitting there looking at it like, you had this feeling all this time, and you just said, whatever, because some women feel, hey, well, at least I got a man or half a man or whatever, and you've been feeling this whole time, because a woman intuition is something else, for real. You know, but you've been telling me you've been feeling this all along. And I don't think no man is that good. I don't care how much of a player you is or whatever. And the reason why you went out and did that, because you're not completely satisfied with what you have. So it's going to be different love in there somewhere.
Wow. Okay, Pastor KL, when you were juggling these two relationships,
mm-hmm.
Do you feel you were loving both women equally?
Okay. So for the record, when. Or it depends on why you do what you do. But what I did, I wasn't in love with nobody. I wasn't trying to love. You know, it wasn't a love factor where, you know, I love you more than I love this person. No, it was a game. You know, when you play games, you know, you understand it for what it is. You don't get caught. It's like the drug dealer. You don't smoke up your own product. You know, it's for a game. Every game is for a game. And the game is to win or to come up. So if you don't get caught up in the game, because once you get caught up in the game, your wits is gone. So you lose everything. And you're not as sharp as you started out the game. Therefore, that's how you get caught. Once you start getting emotional and getting feelings, you're going to get caught up. So no, for me, it wasn't a love thing, you know. Depending on when it was in my life, I needed a place to stay. I didn't want to pay no rent, so if I didn't stay here, I stayed over there. Had clothes in both places. So I mean, it's why you're in this thing. If you're in it for love, or you getting caught up in feelings, you're gonna lose this game all the time. You're gonna lose.
Well, you know, Pastor Steph, if I can interject for a second. Now, what Pastor Kale went through is different. The reason it's different because there was no kids involved, you know. So you got this person and you got kids with it,
you're living, married this person, you got this person, and you got kids. Now, one of the things they don't realize that these kids are going to get older, and kids are going to start asking questions as they get older. They baby, okay, they ain't going to ask too many questions. And as they start getting older, and you got this kid all the way down south playing their sports. Dad, can you come to my game? I got a game tomorrow. What you going to do? Your other kid got a game tomorrow, too. So what you going to do? So
they better play on the
same
team.
I believe when you have it's a little different when there's kids involved, you know. And then, like I said, Pastor Kel wasn't married either. Like, okay, you're my girlfriend. That there's a big difference.
You know, I look at the Bible that says, you know, you can't in love, you know, two things at the same time. And, you know, you'll end up hating one and loving the other, you know, or loving one and hating the other. I just said it backwards. You know, because I was going to ask Pastor Kale, well, why were you even doing that? Because, you know, what's the point? But he answered, and you know what? It's for self-preservation at the end of the day. You know, I need a place to stay, or I don't want to pay no rent, or for whatever the reason. It's emotional. You know, I'm not satisfied with who I am, so I need the love or the attention from several people at the same time so that I can get everything I need. But you're right, Brother Al. You know, you have the dynamic of a family, per se, on both sides of the coin. You are going to be found out. There's no way in the world you're not going to be found out. You just ain't going to be that savvy. Life and ability doesn't allow you to live like that. It just doesn't. Like you said, you know, somebody got a recital, somebody got a game. You know, somebody's birthday. And, you know, it's always. So let me ask you this. Was he found out, Brother Al?
Yeah. He, you know, what amazed me was that how long it took. You know, he had kids with both these women. And like I said, one was in one state. And all the kids was around about the same age. So he didn't get caught till they became teenagers. So it baffled me on, like, how did he get away with that so long? You know, and that just, you know, and if the other lady lived in New York, I could see you probably playing that. But this the other family is all the way down south and you're in New York. Like, Thanksgiving, Christmas, the holidays, it just baffled me. But he did get caught.
And what did he say? What was his response? Who caught him? Wait, who caught him?
The lady here in New York caught him. The lady here in New York caught him, and her main thing was why? Why did you do this to your family? You know, she wasn't even mad at the other lady. She was like, we both are victims. Like, why did you do this? If you didn't want to be with me, you should have just said it, and we could have tried to work it out. If it didn't work, you could have went your way. She just threw the whole guilt, and it was amazing how calm she was. And he just had no words. I mean, what can he say? He had no words to say.
Yeah, the problem with that is that he got caught because he got sloppy. There's no way in the world you have somebody in one state and then have somebody in another state and you get caught. You got sloppy.
You have to get caught.
And you got comfortable. You got comfortable.
No.
You can't get caught with that. You got comfortable.
I don't see nobody getting away with that. Because there's kids involved. It's nowhere possible. You got to go to graduations.
Brother Al, you're just trying to get more airtime. You know you shouldn't have got caught.
No, I don't agree. And I got all the airtime. I have all the airtime from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. I have all the airtime.
Okay,
I don't agree.
Pastor Steph ain't putting you on the whole day.
What?
I said, Brother Al, try to get an extra day in. You can't get in on Wednesday.
You know
it. I would like, Pastor Steph, I would like to make it a I would like to make an announcement to the listening audience. Do not, I repeat, do not listen to Pastor KL. I don't care what he says. No one's talking. You're going to have two families with kids and not get caught.
This is what I'm annoyed with you ladies. I'm going to let you know that right now. I'm annoyed because you have not spoken up. I'm the only one speaking up here. There's no way in the world. I'm with you, Brother Al. There's no way in the world. You are, I don't care where you live. Brother Al just got finished saying that these kids were all in the same age group, which means if both moms decided to put these children in any extracurricular activities, he would be expected to be there. When birthdays came, he would be expected to be there. Holidays, he's expected to be there. You are supposedly the only family he has. But every time you turn around on that you cannot, something is going
the only time that could hinder you is holidays. Because they have different birthdays. They have, I mean, the only time that would be a little sticky is if they celebrate Christmas, you know, the Easter. You know, those are the only, and not even Easter, just Christmas. That is the only primary time that it can be sticky. Any other time, you can work around that. I'm telling you, you had to have gotten sloppy.
Okay, so let me ask you this.
Okay.
Tell me, God don't let
now,
you.
Now we wasn't talking spiritual. Now we wasn't talking spiritual, but we can go there now. I was talking out of natural, but
well,
is it right spiritually? No.
Okay. So wait. Admit it to the fact that God would not allow you to live this lifestyle. Then why would it be only because you got sloppy? That's why I brought up the spiritual side.
Okay, I didn't hear the first part of it. Say that again. I'm sorry.
Okay, so we both agree that God would not allow you to just forever live this lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
So if we admit or understand that God would not allow you to just live this endless lifestyle, why would it be limited to you just getting sloppy? So that's the only
angle. I mean, but no, I'm just saying, but could not God have allowed you to become sloppy, to become too comfortable in your... Listen, how many times we do stuff and we get too comfortable in what we do and now we get caught by the cops? When we first stole... When we first robbed the bank, we dotted every I, we crossed every T, we got away with it. So we got thousands of dollars, and we got greedy. So we did it again, but because we think it's the same bodega, you know, they done put cameras in now. There wasn't cameras in there before. So now we got sloppy. Now we go in there with no mask on. You know, I mean, God can definitely set you up, you know, that he uncovers the veil and uncovers the mask.
Well, that's what this is. Who are we to tell?
So here's the thing.
But what you're saying, you still would be limiting God, whether it was his setup, we don't know, or whether it was simply his allowance. But let me tell you something, man ain't never going to be that he's going to be able to live this endless life, and he's never going to get snagged. Because let me tell you something, if you got two kids on each side, you're talking about, is this going to be from Christmas? Or I don't think this is going to class, period. Life is just made of no Christmas. Life is made of an entire lifestyle and an entire life with these people. Hold on, I want to read, before I go any further, I want to read I do have a comment here from one of the ladies. Okay. She says, there is always going to be some area that you are deficient in when you live a dual life,
whether it is your physical presence, attention, sex, nobody is just that good. And it's true. Ain't nowhere in the world you just that life just gonna hand you convenience of the only time there's a clash is at Christmas time. Nah. Remember, I talked about the woman who was married to the guy, married some other woman. Now with her, it can last a little longer because he doesn't have two additional lives or four additional lives at the same time. But nah, I'm not buying that. That is nowhere in the world. That's just a male ego that says, I'm going to be able to live this life forever. Nah.
Well, no. You know what, Pastor Steph, why I intervened? I was listening. And number one, it's not about getting sloppy. Number one, none of us are perfect. So that tell you right there you're going to get caught because we're not perfect. So that's number one right there. Number two, I got a question for Pastor Kale. You married right now. If you left your house mm-hmm. and they've been there 2 days, your wife's not going to call you?
If I left my house and ain't home at a certain time, my wife is going to call me.
Absolutely.
My life, no further questions, Your Honor.
My life is a routine. However, you see, listen, when you go to the store, you ain't got to buy what you don't want to buy. So if you don't like it, you ain't got to buy it. So you don't have to buy this conversation. I know it because I lived it, and I didn't get caught, and I lived it for 3 years. I got tired. Because it's a lot of work.
You didn't live it because there was no kids involved. That's a total different thing. You had girlfriends. That's totally different than having children with two women and you married them.
Listen to what you just asked me, brother. You said now, as a married man, now all my kids are gone. You said as a married man, if I don't come home, would my wife call me? Yes, it's still the same thing whether it's kids or not. The woman still requires you or would like you to do Valentine's. She still requires or would like you to do Christmas. She still requires and would like you to do a lot of holidays. So it doesn't have to be kid based. The woman wants what the woman wants. You still have to finagle it.
That's so genius.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. For me, my personal opinion. My personal opinion for this is they're desperate women. They want a man. They overlook what's going on because it's okay to disagree, but nobody can tell me that you got these two women, you married to both. It's not a girlfriend, boyfriend. You married to both. You have children with both, and they okay with you leaving months at a time. Something is wrong with that female. She's just desperate to have a man, and she's going to do whatever it takes to keep him.
Well, see, I didn't know we were leaving a month at a time. I mean, that wasn't a part of the conversation. I mean, that right there within itself is stupid.
He's in New York and she's in North Carolina. He can't go every day. So months at a time.
Even if it's not a month, somehow or another, you're going to be found out because there's no way in the world that this will go on forever and this is not going to be found out. You brought up the fact that this was 3 years you lived in. Okay. Doesn't mean that you wouldn't have been found out had you pushed the envelope. So
Right.
So
but every good athlete, every good fighter, they leave on top. There's the idiot that has to have one more fight.
All right, we got
it. It don't mean that the women he was dealing with either was only messing with him. While you doing your thing, she might have been doing her thing too. Y'all was the only boyfriend and girlfriend.
Right. But you know what? But I lived there. But you're right. You're absolutely right.
Well, hold on, men. Hold on, gentlemen. We have comments. Hold on. Wish I'd be
there. I knew it was coming. I was just waiting. Pastor Carol, get ready to get it.
you gotta be on for us to have comments.
So we got to wait for Shanti to log on so we can have, or call in. So
listen, Brother Alex, this is the last time you pick a star. I'm just trying to play with you. We're going to let you talk about basketball next time.
Look, I was asked to pick a topic by my dear friend, Pastor Steph, and I did.
Your dear friend.
Okay, we got Shantice on. We got Shantice on. All right, Shantice, good morning.
Good morning.
What's the comments we got?
Shantice, oh, man.
The first comment submitted by a listener says, that's why men cheaters get caught more than female cheaters, because she definitely got sloppy.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Let the church say amen.
You know
all right,
what?
All right.
I'm going to tell you straight up the
second comment.
Okay, what you got?
Second comment. My slash great uncle lived a double life for years. It wasn't until he was on his deathbed he sort of confessed about another family. My grandmother,
okay,
slash great aunt didn't have kids, but had three with other women, and my great aunt suspected but could never confirm it. But she loved
okay
him so much she okay
shut up.
But she loved him so much she looked past a lot. It always comes
not
to an end.
That's Brother Al's point. That you have
mm-hmm
an you ain't stupid. You see
mm-hmm
stuff that just ain't right. And that, because like you said, Pastor KL, I think it was you, and I know I heard Brother Al say it, because you desperate, you, because you don't want to lose at the end whatever you think you got, whether it's money, comfortability, whatever it is, you don't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, doesn't mean that you would. You are caught, Chester.
Mm-hmm.
Just because somebody ain't saying that
mm-hmm
don't mean that you are caught.
Mm-hmm.
Thought we have you on. We might as well get your thought. What's your thought on this whole, you know, he can live this double life with two families. And Brother Al's scenario, you have one here in New York, one here in North Carolina. Again, we're not talking about the convenience of both being in North Carolina, both being in New York.
Mm-hmm.
That you just want to see that.
I'm sorry, say that last part, Pastor Stuff.
He
I can't get past Pastor Taylor's other house.
He
I hate building a house. Thank you. Y'all just hate it today. Y'all hate it today. All right.
Well,
you'll love me Monday.
He won't get caught because he's that savvy. What's your thought?
I've Brother Al hit it right on the head when he mentioned the desperation. It is. These women ain't slow. I mean, before for overlooking it, but they know exactly what's going on, and they're choosing for, because you have a lot of women who will know what's going on. They won't say nothing, but then they'll be doing them on the side too, and you won't know about it either. I've lived that life. So just because you thinking, you know, you doing you and you living a double life and you got your goodies here and over there, there are some women that got their goodies here and over there too. Not they're completely just putting on it for whatever their reason is, but it's not because they're just completely oblivious to what's going on. It is impossible. It's going to show. I was just watching series and didn't realize it until I watched something last night, a series of like those, you know, those sappy movies, you know, love movies. And each movie, it's like the person thought they were hiding the fact that they were dealing with someone else until their friends would come around and say, oh, what's this glow? Or I noticed that you're not as into, you know, this one, but I look at you over here and it just seems like you're so happy over here. even without you trying, there's going to be a shift. There's not a balance. You can't be the same with both people, especially when you're trying to spread yourself thin between two states. Even in the same state, it's just impossible. After a while, you're going to start to dwindle, if in not both, one area with one person. You can't. They're not oblivious. I mean, maybe doing them.
Thank you. Thank you, Shantese. Thank you. Have a blessed day. Thank you for all of those who commented. We pray you have a blessed day, too. Here's the problem.
Thank you,
Shantese. Here's the problem, Brother Al and Pastor KL. For the women who know and they don't speak up, now there's that belief that you like that and you haven't blown, your cover hasn't been blown. And when we figure we're going to do us, I ain't saying nothing. I'm just going to do me, because I've seen that as well. Well, Shanti said she herself did it. Now you think it's all about you. Now you think, you know, you have been running this game and she don't know because she hasn't spoken up. And my thing is, I ain't playing no game like that. You, if I know, you gon' know I know. I can't live that kind of life. See, we both can't live that. Why are we together? Why are we together? So, you know, I don't know, you know. I don't know, Brother Al,
Well, you know, Pastor Steph, one of the reasons I brought this up, and I guess it was on my, it's so funny because I thought about this morning before you even asked it, is to, for the women audience, to listen to what we are saying. Look at what you're doing. I've seen so many crazy situations, and what kills me, the women are so quick to say, men are dogs, and men are this and that. But you help us be dogs by accepting things. You know, there was
right.
a, you know, just real quick, right. there's a lady that I know. It's so crazy. She works at the eye doctor that I go to, and she's been with this man for 16 years, Pastor Steph. The man is married. She knows that he married. She plays her role. She don't date nobody else. She don't see nobody. She waits for when he got time for her, and she waited and waited. And the bad thing about it was, this man was married, and his woman was a sweetheart, had kids and the whole nine. The wife died from breast cancer. She died from cancer. And now he turned around and married her, the one that had been waiting. And then he wondered why his kids don't like the lady, because the kids, you know, they're older now. I'm like, okay, so you mess with this woman while our mom was sick on the bed. So now he done ruined his whole relationship with his kids. So the thing I'm saying is that, again, you sit back and say, oh, men are dogs. Men are this and that. But you sit back and help us be dogs. You allow us to treat you that way. You know, you're a beautiful woman. God made you to help us, not to, I guess they're taking the help us too far. You know what I'm saying? You're taking the help us too far. And it's just to open these women's eyes. I sit back and I look and I'm just like, wow. And then when they do catch, they're ready to beat the other woman up. Why are you beating her up? Why you want to fight this woman? You sat back and, oh, I knew it all the time. Okay, so why you ain't saying that? Like you said, Pastor, you gonna know I know.
No, absolutely.
And this thing's going to change as us being as older men, as we start getting older. You ain't going to be able to handle two women no more.
Listen,
so
they're
going to show something right there, too.
You can't handle
you
two women at the beginning, Brother Al. I don't care how savvy Pastor KL say he was. That just shows it's not a weakness. It's just not power. It's a weakness. It's
right.
a weakness. You. So you ain't. So how powerful are you when you weak at the same time?
Right.
I ain't buying.
Exactly.
Ain't buying
and you better have an excellent. You better have an excellent job, because now you're taking care of two families. This one got three kids. This one got two kids. Kids cost a lot. And let's see what happens with college. Let's see what happens when college roll around. And again, men are dumb. They don't think about that. All you think about, hey, I got two women and I got this and that. Or you forgetting those kids. When that college bill rolls around, we're going to see what happens now. It's crazy.
Well,
and some of them kids are not getting the love that the other kids are getting, because you're not there.
Listen, Brother Al, I go back to saying you can't serve two masters. You will end up hating, loving one and hating the other. It cannot be this
Absolutely.
Equal. It, you claim it is. It is not. Biblically, it's not. You can't do two. You think it's all about that. But at one point, like you said, somebody is suffering. You may not believe that somebody is suffering, but you cannot equally love and treat everybody exactly the same. First of all, we ain't made like that. Two, our pockets can't handle it like that. Yes, Pastor Kale, you said again, there were no children involved, but, you know, you said that you were able to do these two women equally. Well, you admitted that you couldn't when you said when it got too much, for whatever reason, if she got on your nerves too much, if she was starting to ask too many questions or whatever it is, you got up and you deferred to the other. That's why you had two separate scenarios. I work at night, and I have a job that takes me away because you couldn't handle two at the same time. Would you agree?
Absolutely.
His
wife beating him now. His wife beating him now. He can't talk at the moment.
Yes. When you verbalize when one got too much, you just kind of you went ghost. So that indicated that you really couldn't handle two equally.
Okay, I guess you can put it that way, but I don't think it's not that you can't handle it. It's when you have the options of not having to deal with certain things, you just take it.
But that's not what you said.
Right now, no. So I just left and went to the other one, right, because I had the option of going somewhere else. Now if my wife get on my nerves, I go in the living room. I go in the living room. I can't go nowhere.
That's
the only option I got.
That's not what you said.
That is what I said.
That is not what you said.
Well,
oh, Brother Al, maybe I misheard. What did you hear?
That's what I said. When she get on my nerves, I said, I got to go away. What did you hear?
Well, she talking about with the two girls. He said when it got too much, he got up out of Dodge.
That was an indication right there.
Are you talking about after the 3 years, or are you talking about intermediately?
No, you were talking about intermediately, where
right.
you said, two scenarios. Your words were, it got too much, pretty much.
Right, so I went to the other one. So I needed a vacation.
Right there. That's the word. I needed
a vacation. Listen.
Not that you
wanted. Wait a minute. I'm a married man. In one more week, it will be 15 years. I need a vacation quarterly from my wife. Quarterly.
Okay.
See, let me tell you what the problem with this conversation is. I got engaged. He's about to get married. He's trying to get all these good points. Listen, when you step into the 15 years, you're going to need a vacation from Tamika. I don't care what you talk about. You can try to be deep in God if you want to.
How you know?
You
gonna need one.
How do you know?
Al, we ain't married. We ain't married, and I need a vacation from you. After this conversation.
I need a vacation from Pastor Chad.
Oh, my God. So this has been a very stimulating conversation today. And, Pastor KL is the man, as always. Who didn't need a break, but he needs one now from the 15 years of his marriage. Quarterly, I would like to say. I'm going to make a call to Javon and tell her, you need to be listening to this broadcast because he be flexing like he got like that.
And Brother Al is always
don't worry about his vacation going to be in the hospital.
Okay. If she were really listening, it wouldn't be all this conversation going on. But thank you, gentlemen. Thank you so much for your contribution into today's conversation. And we pray you have a blessed weekend.
You do.
Okay,
bro.
You too.
Thank you. All righty. We going to hold hands and hold hearts today, and we're going to lift up Pastor KL before the Lord. Let us go before the Lord. Heavenly Father, God, we come before you as our God of yesterday, our God of today, and our God of tomorrow. Thanking you, God, for being a God that just will not change. You cannot lie. And it's a relief to serve you because we don't have to worry about if you get tired of us. We don't have to worry about if, you know, it's too much. You're trying to juggle more than us at the same time. All your children, you are actually able to spread your love equally and give us all the amount of attention we need, give us all the love that we need. And we're so grateful, God, that we have decided and we were given an opportunity to say yes to your will and yes to your way. And Lord, we're lifting up this world before you, God, with all of the scenarios and all of the issues that plague us as individuals, God. Brother Al brought up the sanctity of marriage being played with for your own greed. You know, we don't think about things the way you do. You know, your word says, you know, your ways are higher than our ways. Your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And God, you know, for everybody who might be listening, dear Heavenly Father, if that was something that was on their mind, if they feel that, you know, they just don't have enough or one is not satisfying or whatever it is, dear Heavenly Father, we ask, dear Heavenly Father, that you just draw them closer to you, God, that they would position themselves to be closer to you so that we could receive the bona fide and genuine love and use it as an example, that we would just look at how you and your son have always done things, God, and we would pattern ourselves behind that. And we thank you for being such a beautiful example, an example that never dies out, an example that never gives up, an example that always keeps us in the forefront. That the purpose is so that none of us would perish, that we would all be welcomed into your kingdom. And Lord, we know everybody's not going to be receptive. We know everybody's not going to be willing to give up the things that they have to give up in order to live a Christ-filled life. But I pray to Heavenly Father that as we know these people, as these people are in this world and they are coming across the individuals who do know you, who have claimed you, that we would set a good example. And that they would want to know the God that we serve. That their lifestyle would not be just okay anymore. That something would begin to rub them wrong. That something would make them feel uncomfortable. Just because either the example we set in action or some of the things we say that would stimulate their thoughts and their understanding and their realization that they need a Savior. We thank you, God, again, that as Pastor K.O. said, you know, after 3 years, he ran that gamut for 3 years. And we're so grateful, God, that after 3 years, you didn't give up on us. That you didn't say, you know what, I let you have them 3 years, so you know what, you didn't play your game, and now I'm moving. But that you have endured all of this that we offer you for so many years, for decades. But you're right there to lovingly receive us.
so that another life might be saved. So again, we say we love you, God, because we think about all the things that we've talked about this week, we've heard this week, that now make sense. Years ago may not have even made sense. We could agree with this stuff, but now our thoughts and our understanding, it's different now because we've adopted your word into our life, and that's what's reigning. Your spirit is reigning. And we thank you for that special gift of your Holy Spirit that constantly knocks on our door to make that correction in our life. We give you the glory and the honor, so rightly do your name. We pray that every ear that this broadcast falls on, that there would be changes that would take place. Even if the person didn't realize that they needed a change, but that this would be an introduction to them, and then that they would say yes to your will and yes to your way only. There would be no compromise. There would be no 50-50. There would be no 90-10, but that they would be willing to surrender their life completely to you. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray that you continually and continuously deal with your men and your women who are on this broadcast, God. Bring us into a consistent realization of who you are, a consistent realization that we need to do it your way, that we can make as many excuses as we want to, but slow obedience is disobedience. We thank you for making us aware of that today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. What a conversation. Yeah. What a conversation. You know, as Brother Al asks, you know, the question, you know, what's going on? Women, how come, you know, you're willing to accept these things and you don't take a stand, and, you know, allowing men to believe that, you know, you're okay with the life that they're living. Because at the end of the day, that's what you're ultimately saying, that you're okay with the life they're living. You know, get your self-esteem together. And the only way you can get that done is when you give your life to God in its entirety, that there's nothing you're holding back from God. Because, you know, this world will help us believe that we're not enough. This world will help us to believe that we're not thin enough, or we're too big, or we don't have the right complexion, or, you know, our smile is not as beautiful. And, you know, I want to remind you that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And you want to make sure that you serve God in all these ways. Even in how your self-esteem comes through, you're serving God, because you're showing people that if there is something that I can change, such as, let's say, your weight, you know, something we talk about a lot, you know, women who are heavy or men who are heavy, you can change that. You know, what one person does may not work for you, you know, so if you try something and it doesn't work, try something else. If you try that and it doesn't work, try something else. But it can be changed. If you're unhappy about it, then change it. You don't have to accept anything that is not engraved in stone. And your weight is not engraved in stone. Now, take into consideration also that if you have an issue with your weight, then, you know, you may not go down to a size 5, but get down to a point where you're comfortable and you're giving God thanks for who you are, and you're serving him through that confidence. Because when you don't have that confidence, it shows. It really does. It really shows. And, you know, we owe it to God to make sure that we're doing whatever it is that we're supposed to do in order to let our light shine so that Jesus can be seen in us. If we're hiding, if we're ashamed, if we're embarrassed, then understand that that drop, that shine begins to dimmer. It's not as bright, you know, as it could be or it should be. So, you know, you don't have to accept anything from anybody at all. You know, if you find that your husband is cheating or you think your wife is cheating, whoever it is, then do something about it. Speak up, stand up. But surely don't allow someone to believe that you don't know because you don't have no proof. You know, and I know the world says, you know, hey, don't speak up before you have proof. But there's certain times we need to open up our mouth. And even if you don't have proof, I'm going to let you in on something ain't right here. I may not be able to put my finger on it, but something's not right. And I promise you, if you pray about that thing, God's going to reveal it to you. Because you think he wants you to be duped and live that kind of life? Absolutely not. So come on. Let's get this thing together. Because, you know, it was said, are we helping people to sin? Ooh, I bet you we weren't looking at it like that. Yeah. Sometimes your sins have to be found out in order for you to make that correction. Tell me I'm not right. It's something that you can say that, boy, if I hadn't been caught, I would have kept doing that thing. Or if God hadn't revealed me to me and let me see how nasty I was looking, I wouldn't have stopped. So think about it that way. Are you helping someone to sin? Hopefully not. Let's get this life called Christianity together. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew, my men, for sending us into another thought-provoking weekend. Pay attention to what they said, ladies. Oh, thank you for hanging out with us all week and helping us do what we do. Please do not miss this opportunity to accept Jesus as your personal Savior right now, or get that relationship stronger. Make that relationship stronger with the Lord, because later is not promised to any of us. Until Sunday, God spares, where we'll be in the Word Prayer Project room. We don't have any idea as to what God is going to have us pray about. So come on in the room and join us. Until then, God spares, I love you. I was just reminded that Sunday is Christmas. We will not be on. Have a blessed weekend.